Welcome to Impulse Kitty Productions' digital film podcast, where we discuss everything and anything in the digital film world, which includes television shows, Blu-rays, the latest electronics, anything and everything to do with digital or film. So kick back, relax for the next hour or so, and enjoy Impulse Kitty Productions' digital film podcast. Welcome to another episode of Impulse Kitty Productions' digital film podcast. I'm Ruben.
I'm Sherry.
I'm Faith.
I'm Jesse.
And, well, that's the show. Thanks for listening. No, actually, we are a little bit behind. We've kind of been slacking a bit. The last podcast we did was a review of the Breaking Dawn Part 2 finale movie that me and Sherry did. And so today we are going to discuss the past two episodes of The Walking Dead, which are entitled, Faith?
The Expendables?
No.
The Walking Dead?
The Walking Dead episodes. What were they called again?
Hounded and Say the Word.
Yeah, that's right. Hounded and Say the Word. Sorry, I forgot the episode names. We're also going to be talking about The Expendables Blu-ray. We're going to be reviewing The Expendables Blu-ray, the Brave 3D Blu-ray, and we're going to be discussing a little bit The Hobbit 48 frames per second controversy, and anything else?
Dark Knight Rises review.
Oh yeah, there was a Blu-ray.com posted a Dark Knight Rises review, so I'll kind of give you a little bit heads up on that, and anything else that tickles our fancy within the next hour. So let's get started with the Expendables Blu-ray. What'd you guys think of the movie itself?
It was actually a really good movie. I actually enjoyed the first one more than the second. But the thing is if you're looking for explosions and just a lot of action, it's definitely a really good movie. You got to take it for what it really
before
is.
Before we continue this review of The Expendables, one thing has to be said. This movie is... it's very self-aware of itself. It pokes fun at itself in terms of that there's a lot of 80s action stars like Chuck Norris, Stallone, Dolph Lundgren, Van Damme. So Bruce Willis, you know, there's these catchphrases all the time, these one-liners like, you know, yippee-ki-yay or you're terminated or, you know, these cheesy lines that would be cheeseball. But what this movie is, and like the first one, it pokes fun at itself. It doesn't take itself too seriously, and it's very self-aware that, yeah, we're taking all these 80s action stars, we're poking fun of their past histories and the iconic impact they had on cinema. And it's literally just, if you like explosions, one-liners, a bunch of bare-knuckled fighting...
not so serious.
Martial arts.
Yeah, you're going to love it. If you're looking for a story and something really serious, you're not going to find it here.
No.
So I did like the first one better. I thought the second one was okay, but I don't know. There was something about the first one.
See, the first one actually had a little bit more of a storyline. Not a great story, but still had more of a storyline than the second one did. But... they both have really good action scenes, and I actually like a lot of the actors they have in it, so I definitely
I think I that it was good, but I say that the first one was better.
Jesse?
I like the first one, but certain parts in part two I like too.
Okay. The DTS track on the Blu-ray was incredible.
Oh, yeah.
It sounded...
no complaints,
I mean,
on that. You could hear everything everywhere. Yep. It was definitely really good on that one.
Yeah. So everybody agree? Sound?
Yes. Yeah.
It was really good.
So DTS,
totally.
Was incredible. Up. The picture quality was good at times. I did see a little bit of anomalies. Some scenes weren't that sharp. You know, it was shot on film, so not that I'm saying film is, you know, bad or anything.
Right,
like
no.
It's a very gritty, grainy presentation. The thing I had a problem with was, just like the first one, anytime there was a CGI moment, you could definitely tell it was crappy CGI.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was intentional or... or not, but just like the first one, anytime you saw something CGI, it was like really crappy CGI. So
Also in the first one, Stallone directed that one.
Yeah,
So he
that's right.
directed the first
But the
Expendables.
second one he didn't.
But he wrote the second one as well.
He wrote it,
Okay, so he didn't direct the first one. No, wait, he
No, he
directed the
did
first
direct the first
one
one.
and he didn't direct the second one,
No,
but he
he
wrote
wrote
it.
it,
Okay.
right.
All right, so overall, I would give the Expendables 2 Blu-ray in picture quality, in its DTS HD track, and overall kind of, story, if you can call it that. If you like the genre, since we do, I would give it like a 4.0 out of a 5. A 4.0 out of 5. I would give a 4.5 out of 5 for the first one. But this one did go down, I think, 5 points for me.
But still worth buying
Yeah,
to me.
still worth
Still worth buying.
purchasing if you like these kind of movies, right, Jesse?
Yeah, thumbs up
If you
for both of them.
if you like the genre, so. All
Yeah.
right, so we have Brave 3D Blu-ray, Disney's Brave, and we saw the 3D version. Not the 2D version, so that's what we're going to comment on. So the 3D was absolutely beautiful, as with any Disney or Pixar.
They really know how to do their 3D.
So the presentation was clean, the picture was beautiful, the colors were popping, the sound was great. This story was okay. I don't think it's one of Disney's best.
It wasn't like the story for How to Train Your Dragon was a better story than Brave was,
Well, put
but
it this way. We have a 6-year-old, and she's all about princesses, and she's all about these kind of movies. So to give you an insight, she was like, "Can we watch Brave? Can we watch Brave? Can we watch Brave? Can we watch Brave?" We put Brave on. And in about 20 minutes, completely lost interest. Until she took it to her room and watched it on her Blu-ray player. But I can tell that when she does play it,
It's not
it's
our full attention
full
like
attention
the other
as
ones
with
do.
like Tangled or any even Hocus Pocus.
Oh yeah,
She plays
serious.
that a million times.
She loves that movie.
Oh, they like Alice in Wonderland too.
Oh, Disney's Alice in Wonderland? The CGI one or the
The
cartoon?
cartoon, they were
Okay.
watching it earlier.
Okay. So if that gives you an insight on Brave, it's not bad. It's got its funny moments, but I think that the story is okay. It's not the best, but definitely worth the buy if you
Yeah, it
like
definitely
collecting these kind
is.
of movies. I enjoyed it.
I did too.
Would I watch it over and over again? Probably not as much as I would like How to Train Your Dragon or a Toy Story movie or
Or Despicable Me.
Tangled. I would watch Tangled, right? More than this one, yeah. So,
The
but
Princess and the Frog just made me think of that one. That one was very good
yeah, The
too.
Princess and the Frog, yeah. Brave was buy it. Should you buy the 3D version? Absolutely.
If you have 3D TV, yeah, definitely. If you
Absolutely.
don't, I'd still buy it just in case when you ever get it. But yeah, it's
Yeah,
definitely a good buy.
it was a solid, Disney Pixar movie, but its best, no. So I would give it what a four,
Three,
yeah,
four.
4.5.
I'd still get a 4.5.
You'd give it a 4.5. Okay, well, let's
I
go
would
around the
give
room.
it
I give it a 4.0. Sherry,
4.5,
Jesse.
4.5,
4.3.
Okay, so
So,
and that's out of five.
yeah.
So in between 1 through 5. So I gave it a 4.0. Sherry gave
From
it
what
a
I
four.
saw, it was really good, but
Yeah.
not so much with the story.
Okay,
See, when it
so.
comes to the story, I give it a 4.0
Oh, that's what I
for visual and audio. I gotta say, I give it a 5, really, but
Yeah.
for visual, I give it a 4.5.
Yeah, I agree.
For funny parts, it's pretty good.
So I'm going to do a quick rundown of the Blu-ray.com review of The Dark Knight Rises Blu-ray. It's pretty positive. It was, I think, a 4.5 out of 5.
That's yeah, it was.
And yeah, so it's definitely a 5 out of 5 for sound. Nice. DTS HD Master Audio was given a 5 out of 5. Picture quality, I think, was a 4.5 out of 5. And special features, I think was a 3.5.
Oh, it was bad, really?
Yeah. It was bad.
Special features were kind of lacking. I think there's just a 28-minute documentary on the movie and a 68-minute... I can't remember exactly what it was, but I think, but in terms of special features, you're not going to get much out of The Dark Knight Rises. So, but definitely in 14 days, we're going to buy it and watch it for ourselves and give it a full on review.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
But along with that news, there's some sort of online thing going on where. If something tied to The Dark Knight, I'm not exactly sure, but if you share the Dark, it's on Yahoo, I think. If you share The Dark Knight Rises Blu-ray or something like that, advertisement, you start unlocking this Man of Steel surprise. What the surprise is, it could be a trailer, it could be a new poster, you could be unlocking anything. I'm hoping it's a new trailer, given the fact that it was just released by Zack Snyder, that The Hobbit will be, the Man of Steel trailer will be attached to The Hobbit. So I think that's pretty badass. We're going to get some more Man of Steel yumminess to see if it's actually any good. Hopefully I'm blown away. Been very curious to see
anything
from the Man of Steel. You guys?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I can't wait. Zack Snyder is really good.
So
I hope it doesn't disappoint.
So yeah, so Man of Steel, December 14th, I believe that's when The Hobbit comes out.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of The Hobbit, we're going to segue straight into The Hobbit and its 48 frames a second controversy. Now, normally movies are shot at 24 frames a second. Everybody knows that. For the past 90 years, we've all been used to 24 frames a second. Now, I'm not going to go into the history of 24 frames a second, but let's just say that it was never a creative choice to shoot. It was never an artistic choice to shoot 24 frames a second. It was a cost-effective decision to shoot 24 frames a second. I like to call it a happy accident. So ever since then, everything has been displayed and shot at 24 frames a second, give or take soap operas or behind-the-scenes footage that either shot 60 or 30 frames a second.
Right.
Now, there are two people in the industry that I know of, James Cameron and Peter Jackson, that are pushing for higher frame rates to be the standard in cinema. So they, especially James Cameron, wants to get away from 24 frames a second entirely. He wants to go for 60 or 48 frames a second. He says, I don't care where we land, whether it's 48 frames or 60 frames a second, so long as we get away from 24 frames a second. I don't like that. It leaves a bad taste in my mouth, because if 60 frames a second or 48 frames a second should be the standard from here on out, whether it's a progressive jump or not, I think that it takes away that cinematic, the elusive cinematic look that we're all kind of used to and everybody's trying to get. Always, you know, how can I make my short film or video blog or anything look like film? And part of what makes film look like film is that 24 frames a second frame rate. Obviously, a lot goes in, you know, your movie's not going to look like a movie if it's just shot at 24 frames a second. It has to do with 24 frames a second. It has to do with your cinematography, your directing, your editing, your everything, sound design. That's what will make a movie look like a movie. So,
right.
But 24 frames a second is an integral part of that. Now, as an artist, I think that Peter Jackson is, feel free to present The Hobbit any way that you see fit. It is your decision as an artist, and I think everybody should have the freedoms to shoot and display their art at any way they want to, whether we like it or not, because mm-hmm. art at the end of the day is subjective. Everybody's yeah. going to have their own opinions about it, and that's what art is. It's to stimulate conversations, debates. Some people will like it, some people won't. Me, myself, I'm going to try and find the theater where it was shot, where it's displayed at 48 frames a second in 3D, because it was shot with RED cameras in 3D at 48 yeah. frames a second. So for me to watch it in 24 frames a second is me watching someone's work that wasn't intended to be watched yeah. that way. So
you're basically doing what you want to watch, but not how the artist wanted you to watch it.
Exactly. It's like people not liking widescreen bars and zooming in their picture and cropping the picture not having a calibrated TV and blasting the colors and the contrast and altering the way the movie looks. So you should watch, or turning on the motion flow on TVs, the interpolation, the 120 hertz a second, the 120 hertz, 240 hertz televisions that have that kind of soap opera-y live effect, which effectively right. is what 48 frames a second and 60 frames a second will look like. What it looks like, what they've done with it, it wasn't met with that much praise at CinemaCon, but to be fair, a lot of shots weren't done. A lot of the CG wasn't finished. So I say let's wait to see what it actually looks like. It's a big gamble. Will the industry change the standard to 48 frames a second? I think not. The reason I think not is because there's a lot of people that really love 24 frames a second.
Yeah.
And me, for one, as an aspiring director, will never shoot 48 frames a second. I will go kicking and screaming to the grave for 24 frames a second. So
yeah, same here.
So I love James Cameron. Usually I'm behind him and championing what he does, because he's a pretty good innovator, and I give props to Peter Jackson for being ballsy and saying, hey, I'm gonna shoot this in 48 frames a second for such a big franchise to do this test on.
Yeah.
So I give them props, but am I behind the decision that Hollywood should convert and get away from 24 frames a second?
No,
I don't think so. A lot of people say that 48 frames a second will be easier on the eyes and the brain in terms of 3D. A lot of people get headaches, brain strain, eye strain, whatever. Because of the strobing and the judder, supposedly. Me, myself, when I watch 3D, I have no problems with 3D. So I've seen it with the interpolation 120 hertz on the smoothing effect.
Yeah.
And it just looks like 60 frames a second. So it doesn't really have an effect on me. So I'd have to put someone else's eyes right in my head to see if it helps the 3D. To me, like I said, I don't have a problem watching 3D. So whether it helps 3D easier, I don't get brain strain, I don't get headaches. So I'm not the person to ask whether 48 frames a second or any higher frame rate will be better for 3D. I have no idea. I mean, do you get headaches watching 3D?
No.
Or you get eye strains at one point.
So do you think that the higher frame rates might help with that? For at least 3D?
For 3D?
If it's a smoother, do you think with less blurring and jitter, you think it might help?
Yeah.
I think
it might.
I think it might too, for some people.
Yeah.
So, higher frame rates for 3D, I think that it's a good way to go. But for 2D presentations, regular? I would prefer to watch things at 24 frames a second.
Right.
What do you think, Jesse? Traditional?
Yeah, but 3D is really good, I'm not gonna lie. But certain people, they can't handle it. So.
Okay, well, so the majority of people here in this little round table believe that 24 frames a second still holds a good dick in my heart.
Exactly.
So 48 frames a second, I will watch it if you shoot it and want it to be seen that way. Will I like it? Will I feel that it takes away from the cinematic feel to something as epic as the Hobbit franchise? Well, as the Lord of the Rings franchise? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know exactly because I haven't seen it. So I'm going to reserve judgment up until I see it, and then I'll kind of come back and tell you how I felt. And but I'm all about watching things the way the director intended you to watch them. So if a director shoots something 60 frames a second, 30 frames a second, 48 frames a second, 1 frame per second, whatever, watch it in the intended way. It's art. It's subjective. You may not like it. You may not agree with it, but it's better to watch things the way they're supposed to be watched to get a really good feeling of what the director was after.
So. Right.
And that's their choice. You know, they made the choice of doing that way.
So, yeah. So that's my chime in on that. So let's move on to The Walking Dead. The episodes we missed reviewing were the first one
was Say the Word that we missed.
Say reviewing. The Word. Now Say the Word was which one? Remind me again. What happened?
Where Michonne? I think it was Michonne wanted to leave, and I think she did.
Yeah, she wanted to take Andrea.
Okay, we'll get started in recapping.
Okay, let's see if I can remember the beginning.
Sorry, I my head hurts. I forgot a little bit what happened.
It was right after she died. Lori. Right
okay, after, yeah, yeah. Okay,
he was
at so
the
it's
breakdown.
Okay, so
Rick was going nuts.
So yeah, so it opens up. With this scene.
They need to get formula for the baby.
No. It opens up, remember, with the dog running across the yard or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
So I almost thought it was a flashback scene for a second. And until, so it's in the governor's little sanctuary and they're having some sort of a
Andrea
celebration.
And
yeah.
I forgot the guy's name, but they're having a conversation. She wants to know a little bit about what
they're celebrating.
They're celebrating at night. That night, anyway.
So they have, they're talking about how the governor is using the generators for making ice and Poindexter. Let's call him Poindexter.
Okay.
the guy with the glasses has a problem with the generators being used for such a purpose, but Andrea says that, you know, it's pretty nice to have ice.
To have it regardless.
Yeah. So they're celebrating with ice cold drinks. Everybody seems to be having fun.
And from a distance, Michonne's looking at Andrea.
And she's like,
she
what the hell is wrong with her?
She has that same look, like, you know,
she has the caca look.
Like, what the fuck?
She still doesn't trust anybody. She's just keeping an eye on things and she wants to leave, so.
And also, it transitions, I think, from there to a creepy scene where the governor is combing his daughter's hair and his daughter is a zombie and he pulls a chunk out of her hair.
And she starts freaking out.
And then he puts a pillowcase over her head to try to calm her down, I guess.
So, believe it or not, he
found out a way to calm her down and he just keeps doing that every time she gets out of control and...
Yeah, so we find out that the governor is...
And then Michonne sees him doing that.
Well, they lock eyes more or less, but from a distance
she can't tell he's there, but she can't tell
the
daughter's there.
But she does know
Put it this way, I think that she's just scoping the place out. I don't think she can see him at all. From that far away, with the blinds closed the way they were.
Oh, true. Probably just knows that that's his window, so she's just...
Yeah, so he sees her, but I don't think she can see him.
She kind of has that look on her face, like...
The caca look.
She kind of thinks that something's going on.
She doesn't trust anybody in the town. She doesn't trust what's behind it.
So from there, we go to Rick having this
crazy breakdown
where he can't hear. It's that, you know, that bomb effect where it's like all you can hear is
it's like your hearing's kind of out.
Yeah, so he's like a little bit lost. The baby needs formula, and lo and behold, right away Daryl's like takes control. This baby ain't gonna die. He goes into ass kicking mode.
Yeah, and Maggie says that she'll go, and so did Glenn. And then they found out the direction they have to go only won't fit the car, so they have to take the motorcycle, and so Maggie decides to go with their own.
And Glenn didn't want her to, but then she did anyway.
She said that she owed it to do it for Lori, so... Yeah.
So they go hunting for formula, and Rick goes on a zombie-killing...
Rampage.
Which is pretty gnarly, so...
He was going back to look to find his wife to confirm, you know, kind of to...
Yeah.
The death,
He killed, like, 3 zombies.
Yeah, with his axe, he's like, he fucking...
He hit one of them, like, hit the head in, like, half.
It was pretty gnarly. It was awesome. I enjoyed the...
Like, The Watching Dead, if you guys hear that podcast, I love their podcast, The Watching Dead. You should Google The Watching Dead, or on iTunes, type in The Watching Dead, and they have a really good podcast on The Walking Dead, and they usually do Zombie Kill of the Week, and they said that, I think they did say that Rick had Zombie Kill of the Week with that axe in the middle of the head.
Yeah.
That was pretty awesome, so.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
I do agree with that, so that was a pretty good kill. So he goes down to the basement where Lori was, and
I think he sees a zombie.
He
sees the zombie, and he thinks just because he's chubby.
No. He sees the floor, and there's nothing
and
left.
The mess there's where just blood. She was, but nothing's there.
Blood in chunks. She's not there. And then he sees a zombie laying down with a full stomach. Like a big
full
belly.
Belly as if he's just had a huge meal.
Didn't that zombie eat Lori?
That's
what it was indicating.
Bones
anyway.
Are sticking out of its neck, so he kills a zombie. He starts poking around at the stomach. You kind of get a feeling that he wants to see her, but obviously there's nothing left.
Right.
So he just keeps stabbing the zombie stomach and just kind of sits there, goes a little crazy, and then...
It goes back to Andrea, I think.
Yeah, it goes back to the celebration.
Yeah.
And
they're walking
Michonne,
to
the,
I think.
No. Michonne
goes into the
governor's office,
yeah.
I think.
Uh-huh.
And takes
to get
back
her sword.
Her katana sword.
Sees her sword and takes it back, and
she sees the
they're coming. The governor and Merle were coming, so she hid behind the wall. And once they took off, she hopped out a window that led down to this area where there's cages, or I think a cage full of zombies that were held.
Yeah, captive zombies are being
held. So she broke the lock, had them come out, and she ninja'd their ass.
Chopped them all up and shit.
Like 5 of
killed
them
all, and then she got caught. So she got taken to... she got taken to the governor's office so she can get talked to.
Okay, yeah. So they catch her, obviously. Doing this, and so
catches her, right?
Yeah. No, I don't know. Someone with a bucket of
they never showed the face.
Flesh.
Yeah,
someone does,
and they take her back to the governor's office. But we cut from there. I think she's already talking to the governor at this point.
Yeah,
yeah.
He knows. He's like, he asked her if she gets off
good,
on this.
Yeah,
She can be a good asset. She's obviously good with the sword. She's good with fighting.
She can join the research team.
But obviously, she's not having it. She takes the sword from him. She holds the sword to his throat. And she, you can tell she's not having any of this bullshit.
And then she just, storms out of the...
Yeah.
Yeah, she leaves.
So then...
Merle.
Cut back to... I think we're at this point...
Well,
Glenn,
that,
does Glenn go inside, or are we Glenn, back? Or are we back at?
No, remember.
Are we the formula run? Are we back to the formula run?
Mm,
yeah, Maggie,
yes,
Maggie, and
Maggie, Daryl. And them go in the
house.
House,
oh,
yeah.
Well, it's a daycare. It's like a daycare center with all these rooms, and
Maggie's looking around to see if she can find.
Yeah,
any
Daryl was
and
with
stuff.
Her too.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
With his poncho.
They're searching the whole entire place.
With
his hair is covered.
With his poncho in the middle of summer, which is just the weirdest thing, but he looks badass, though.
Yeah.
But anyway, go ahead. You're going to say?
And then I think when he goes in there, he sees this one handprint that says Sophie on it, I think.
Oh, yeah, he lingers.
Without Maggie knowing, he takes it and holds on to it. And...
No, he doesn't.
Oh, no, he looks at it. That's right. You know
what? He just looks at it and then walks away.
Yeah, he kind of just lingers.
I was remembering back to another. Yeah, okay.
So he kind of lingers on that Sophie little thing.
The handprint.
So they find formula and they kill a possum and, you know, Daryl's all yum dinner.
And, like, put down your bag.
Yeah. They make the run back, right?
Yeah.
And at this point, Glenn is...
trying to find Rick.
Rick. And he sees the zombies that he's killed. And he finds Rick in this... in this state of craziness, right?
Yeah, and he's lost his mind. He literally is crazy.
And
He slams him into the wall.
Yeah, he attacks Glenn. He slams him into the wall, holds him there for a couple seconds, and then kind of just throws him
across the room, a different direction to, like, tell him pretty much leave.
Yeah, so at this point, Rick ain't having anybody. Like, I want to be alone kind of shit.
Yeah.
Which, at this point, you got to start asking yourself, is he becoming a danger to the group?
Right.
So then we get back... they start feeding the baby formula.
Yep.
And then it cuts back to Andrea.
Well, as they're feeding the baby, Carl starts going over everybody's name that has died. Like, Carol.
To find out what they should name the baby because they haven't named her yet.
And the last thing he says is maybe Lori. And then, Daryl's feeding the baby. For some reason, he's like...
the last kicker,
I think. Little ass kicker. which I don't think that's gonna stick, but it was kind of a funny moment. I just think it's kind of funny that Daryl's just all motherly.
I get it though. I can see why he is.
But Daryl's one of my favorite characters, so I really dig it. So
he's cool.
Yeah, he is definitely.
So what's next? We cut back to
Andrea.
Well, yeah, Andrea and Michonne are having a conversation because Michonne's telling her that they got to go and that they're going to head towards the coast. And she's kind of telling Michonne that, do we really have to go? And
yeah, at this point, Andrea's trying to figure out, why should we go? This is what we've been looking for, a sanctuary. And,
right.
And Andrea feels there's nothing wrong. She wants to give this place a chance. And to be fair, I really don't exactly know fully what happens in the comics, so I'm not really sure exactly how crazy the governor is or how dangerous Woodbury is. But right now, my feeling is I'd rather be with a crazy person in a place that's safe and has ice and showers
than have to worry about getting bitten by a zombie and
by dealing with walkers and not knowing when you're gonna eat.
There's no food, water out there.
So right now I'm with Andrea. Obviously Michonne wants to leave. She's just wants to find her own sanctuary. So she says, you got to give me something more to go on. So they go to the gate. And she's more or less trying to prove to Andrea, look, they're not going to let us go.
Yeah.
So Merle's there. Hey, wait. Try to stop her. And lo and behold, they don't try to stop her.
Exactly.
And so at this point, Michonne tells Andrea, are you going to come with me or not? Kind of giving her an ultimatum. Eventually... She doesn't go with her.
Yeah.
And Michonne just leaves and says, you just would slow me down.
Yeah, before that happened, remember, he talked to some other dude? And then
Brownie.
Away.
I guess Merle just calls people Brownie, Blondie, whatever they look like.
Yeah.
Whatever color they look like.
Yeah, and then they start talking, and then she left. Remember?
Yeah, there's a conversation between Merle. Right before he opens the gate, he says, okay, wait right here, and he goes talks to... Brownie, I guess. That's what I'm going to call him because I don't know. Some guy that's at the wall and guarding. And they have some sort of conversation, which you kind of get the feeling that something's up.
Right.
So they let Michonne go. And what's next? What's next after that? We kind of figure out, fast forward.
Don't they go back to Rick where he hears the phone ring?
No, that's the last part.
So, flash forwarding to the festival, the main event at Woodbury, what they've all been waiting for.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And it's this, they have these, well, what they do first before Merle and a team of scouts go out and pick up a pack of walkers, and they take their teeth out, and you're trying to figure out, okay, well, what's going on here? And then, you know, we figure out that they're meant to be used as a entertainment staging fight area where Merle fights. It's like 1, 2, 3. It's like four zombies chained in a
like a circle,
in a four square,
right?
Chained up, and you have a referee, and I guess
Merle and some other guy
fighting. Are fighting in the middle like gladiators, and every, I guess, round, they let the chains of the zombies extend more, so they kind of enclose the gladiators, I would call them. Enclose them more, so it becomes more dangerous. So Andrea gets a peek at this, and she's appalled at what she sees. She's like, well, what is this? Like, you know, and then finally the governor says, look, you know, it's just for show. We take the biter's teeth out. They call them biters, walkers, whatever you want to call them. It's all for show. It's all, you know, for entertainment. So she says, well, this isn't right. And he says, well, you know, we want people not to be afraid of the zombies. And anyway, so they obviously have a disagreement about what it is. She's appalled, and she leaves. And then we get towards the end where Rick is just sitting there by the zombie that ate his wife. And there's a rack focus towards a telephone that starts ringing, and he picks it up, and he does his Keanu Reeves hello, and that's where it ends, right there.
For most of the episode.
So it was a really good episode. I think it was a really good follow up. It wasn't as good as the previous episode where that was a badass episode.
Yeah, that was definitely
where Lori died and everything.
And
Killer Within.
Who was it? T-Dog.
T-Dog died.
Yeah, T-Dog died.
So moving on to the next episode, which we just saw yesterday.
Yep, and it's called Hounded.
Hounded is, we pretty much pick up off where we left off, more or less, where, you know, Rick's getting these phone calls. He's talking to these, first it's a female, and she says that, you know, they have a group and they're safe, and, you know, so he's obviously interested, and you don't know who the girl is, and she says, you know, he begs. What is he? He begs her, right?
Yeah, he begs her to just
to listen to take in a group. Yeah, he tells her that they have a newborn. He has a son. You know, they're dying. Can you take some more people in?
It's not safe there. Yeah.
And she says, okay, well, let me talk to the group. It's not up to me. I'll call you back in 2 hours. So he goes back where Carl and. Daryl and Herschel and Amy, and I don't even, is Glenn there?
Maggie.
Yeah, Glenn and Maggie are there.
Mm-hmm,
and
there.
They're having breakfast or some shit.
Yeah.
And he just says, I wanted to see how Carl was and da 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 this. And they say, hey, Rick, you know, you don't need to clear out those bodies all by yourself, because they think, you know, he's clearing out the bodies of the zombies he killed. And he's like, no, I want to be alone, blah, 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 blah. And so we move on from there. He goes back to waiting by the telephone.
Yeah.
And I think there's an intercut between there to Woodbury, right? Woodbury?
Yeah.
So we see Merle. No, not Woodbury. Actually, we see Merle and his group hunting Michonne.
Oh yeah.
That was interesting.
Yeah. Actually, that was the beginning, right?
At first I thought he was actually going out with the group like he said he was to look for his brother. But then you start figuring out
First of all, let's apologize to the inconsistency of our recap. We're all over the place, but if you know us, that's how we kind of just do things. Whenever it hits our minds, we kind of
say what's on our mind.
So
we kind of mess up, we go back. So
because I see that they're walking through the forest, and then they come across dead bodies and it's saying a message like go back or
yeah.
not.
Yeah, so Michonne obviously yeah. laid out these bodies in a certain message type thing that says go back. So, you know, Merle's like yelling like, hey, you know, Michonne, come out. Come out, you know, is kind of taunting her. So she comes out, fucking chops up two of the guys.
Yeah.
Disappears all ninja like and shit. Yeah. Although Merle does shoot her in the leg, right?
Yeah, yeah. She ran away. He was shooting yeah, at her.
He shot her, got her in like, the leg. On the side.
Okay, so then continuing that, in that scenario, she comes back, right?
Yeah.
And gets the better of Merle. She hits him, doesn't slice him or anything.
No, she kicks him. She ends up cutting the other boy that's with him, cuts him across the chest because Merle pushed him out of the way.
Yeah, okay, so this other guy gets, so it's down to Merle and this other guy. I can't pronounce the name, so I'll just call him Neil. Like Merle said,
I don't know. I forgot the G. I forgot to.
Gordita. I don't know.
Whatever it was.
Cornelius.
No, it wasn't Cornelius. It was Cock. Anyway, so she comes back, I guess he gets kind of dizzy, right, Merle? And then he's focused, and he sees that walkers are coming, and. One falls on Michonne, and she chops the stomach up, and all the stomach,
all over her.
All the nastiness the goes all over
of
her.
Yeah.
The walker?
The walker goes all over her. Merle kills a couple of walkers, and she runs away.
Yep.
And
then he takes that guy's life.
And then Neil.
Yeah, then we'll call him Neil. Yeah, he saves, actually he saves Merle from a walker.
And
so, you know, Merle's all right, da da da. You know, we got to go back. This is a lost cause. She's pretty much dead.
Had a good day's work.
And the guy, all of a sudden, the guy that was all scared wants to go hunting. Let's keep going, you know.
We got to finish this.
So, you know, Merle's not having any of this bullshit, so he shoots him in the head.
That way, when he goes back, he doesn't get told.
Yeah, because Merle obviously doesn't want to go. I mean, he makes the case that, you know, we just shot a couple of gunshots here, and in a matter of minutes, there's going to be a bunch of walkers coming this way. So in that fact, yeah, it's true. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
And we had a group. Now it's down to me. It's like, I'm getting the fuck out of here.
Exactly.
Regroup. So we see Michonne come out, kind of peeking out through the forest. There's a pack of walkers walking by. She's about to pull out her sword, but miraculously sees that they just pass by her. They ignore her. I mean, she's like right there, like next to them.
Yeah.
And
it's because of the blood and all that stuff, the guts that are all over her, because it's the zombie smell. So they know that.
Yeah. So pretty much we're going back to season one where they figured out that if you smell like a zombie, they won't touch you. So she figures this out because she's covered in guts and cock. And so she has like a penis hanging from her neck and whatnot. I'm just joking, but anyway, she's covered in zombie shit, and so she figures out, oh wait, you know, she looks at herself and boom, cut to back to the prison where Rick continuously gets phone calls.
I guess
he gets
a man.
Yeah, the next one is a man.
Mm-hmm.
And what does he say?
We know you're tell me about your wife or something like that.
He's asking him questions, and then when he asked him...
This is the worst recap ever. We sound like we're retarded.
How his wife died, he didn't want to talk about it, and so the guy ended up hanging up.
Yeah.
So pretty much at this point, you start suspecting that Rick's the little loony. Herschel comes down and says that, you know, quick recap. Herschel comes down, offers to stay with him. Rick says no. Herschel leaves, but before Herschel leaves, Rick does tell him that he's been getting phone calls. Herschel picks up the phone. You get the feeling that Herschel kind of knows that there's no dial tone, no nothing.
Yeah.
But he offers to stay with Rick. Rick says no. Herschel leaves. And ultimately, you figure out that Rick's getting these phone calls because the last phone call is for Lori. So it's more or less his... way of coping with what happened.
Yeah.
And finally comes to, realizes that the phone calls he's been getting were all bullshit. The people that have been calling him were the people that have died. Like, what was it, Amy?
Amy
and...
Lori.
No, it wasn't Lori. It was Amy and the one dude that died. I can't remember his name. Anyway, it's the people that have died. And so he comes to terms with that and kind of comes out of the prison. And, well, the prison block that he was in.
Right.
And, you know, he ready to lead the people again.
Yeah.
He holds his baby. I know we're skipping a couple parts, but we'll get to those. Especially some important parts. So, yeah. So he's you know, pretty much cured from his craziness, more or less. He's dealt with it. He's mourned.
Oh, he's trying to spend time with his baby.
Yeah.
So the biggest part is Merle, we don't see him really go back to Woodbury. We see a cut of...
No, we do. Murray tells him that they killed...
No. At this point, he hasn't gone back to Woodbury.
Oh, yeah.
Not yet.
At this point, Maggie and Glenn have gone on a run for more baby formula and supplies.
Sorry.
So they reach a super center or whatever area, and they find a lot of, you know, baby formula and a couple of things. And Michonne is looking at them. She sees them arrive. She sees the conversation they have. She sees them talking about the prison. She sees what they're getting. So she's wounded. She's hiding behind a car. Doesn't really know what to do or say. But before she can do or say anything, Merle shows up, sees Glenn.
Yeah.
And says, hey, you know, this has been a small world. Hey, you know, and obviously Merle looks bloodied up and whatnot. So,
yeah.
You know, so ultimately Merle wants to know if his brother's still alive. Glenn says, yes. Merle says, puts up his gun, throws down his gun and says, hey, you know, take me to where he is. Glenn is holding a gun at him, says, no way. I'm not going to take you to our camp. I will go get Daryl and he'll meet you here. You stay here. Merle gets closer. He takes Maggie hostage and says that you're going with me. So
yeah.
Michonne at this point wants to do something, but she's so wounded that she can't.
Yeah.
She can't do anything. So she witnesses this whole confrontation go down. And next thing you see is the governor more or less talking to Andrea. They're having a couple of drinks and then they start fucking. Yes. And yeah, get interrupted. So obviously Andrea and the governor have something going on there, which is all sorts of weird.
Yeah.
And
get interrupted by Merle, tells him about Michonne and how people were dying. And
yeah, so he tells the governor that Michonne's dead, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He lied.
And he lied about the way the others died. And then not only that, but the governor's going to told him, we'll come up with a story on how the other guys died to tell the other people so they can be known as heroes.
Right.
Mm. And then, you know, Merle says, I got, you know, a couple of people here. And then the governor says, more or less, like, do they know Andrea? Yeah. So they pretty much, Merle's going to make them tell him where his brother is.
Right.
Yeah.
So apparently that's why he took them captive, is to squeeze the location of where they're camped out at.
So
at that point, you know, you see Rick and everybody kind of coming out of the prison into the courtyard, and Rick's holding the baby and everybody's kind of just smiling and everybody's having a pretty good time. And once again, you know, Rick sees something in the distance that, you know, kind of like, wait, hold the baby. Pulls out his gun and he's walking towards the fences and he sees a bunch of walkers lining up. And at first you don't really see anything. And then you notice that Michonne is right next to a shitload of walkers, holding a grocery basket
full of the formula that Glenn and Maggie left behind because of Merle.
And that's pretty much where it ends. But she's able to stand next to the walkers because she's covered in, in shit. So,
but I think we forgot Daryl and Carl and the prisoner were searching.
Oh, that's for right. Carol. We skipped over the thing. No, they weren't searching for Carol. They were just cleaning out the
the dude was the black guy with the one that was locked up.
Yeah, no, I said the prisoner. I can't remember his name.
Yeah, yeah, they're all three of them were looking for walkers.
Look, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, guys. Give us a break. we're a little tired, but. So Daryl, Carl, and the other guy, the other prisoner, are looking for walkers, clearing out the prison block. Yeah, and Daryl, just has a conversation with Carl about his mom dying, being burnt alive because she was, more or less, I guess, fell asleep smoking a cigarette or drinking wine or something like that. And Carl says, well, I had to shoot my mom, so it was very real. Because anyway, so they have this kind of back and forth, but they both kind of say, well, I'm sorry about your mom. And Daryl says, well, I'm sorry about yours. And they're pretty, kind of therapeutic. But anyway, they find a walker. They kill him. Daryl notices that in his throat is Carol's knife. So he's reminded of Carol. So everybody, I think at this point, he's by himself. Mm-hmm. And he hears this walker, or what he thinks is a walker, in the closet trying to get out. And he's finally...
Which they were going to save.
Pissed off because, he misses Carol and, all the losses. So he's going to open the door and kill this walker because it's just getting on his nerves. And lo and behold, it's Carol hiding in a closet playing peekaboo.
Trying to get someone's attention to open the door because she can't do it.
Yeah, she looks too, very weak and whatnot.
She was hiding.
So Daryl picks her up and walks off with her to rescue her and fuck her, I guess. I don't know. So that's more or less the episode. And it was a pretty good episode. But once again, it pisses me off because it leaves you hanging.
Yeah.
No, duh.
So that's been our podcast for today. I mean, the only other thing that we can comment on is just a final recap on Breaking Dawn Part 2. Just everybody's opinion about it. I mean, Jesse, you got to see it.
Yeah, it was really cool. I'm not going to lie. I liked it. And then it threw me off after the battle. After
the twist?
Yeah. I was like, what the hell's going on?
So, that's what I thought. I was like, it's real.
Yeah, because I got into the battle. I'm like, oh, this is how it's supposed to be in the book. And it kind of surprised me when it switched. So
we could all fundamentally say that it was the most entertaining Twilight movie, if you're into Twilight at all or have to see it. I think that you'll be the most entertained by this one. Also because it's kind of funny to me that this one itself was the best one for me. And it kind of sucks that it's over because right when it starts getting good... because the other ones, I gotta say, man, like...
Kind of dragged on.
Really dragged on and suck. And not suck in a way. I don't know. There's really... From Part 1 to New Moon, Eclipse really got... From Eclipse on, it got better.
Yeah,
but from really Twilight and New Moon...
They've come a long way.
It was really kind of like... They were okay. Let's just put it that way. It wasn't anything special. I didn't like Twilight at all. Really. I really didn't like it.
Talking movies is not that much.
New Moon, I liked a little bit better, but still wasn't sold. It wasn't until Eclipse that things started getting more interesting. And then Breaking Dawn, I thought was the most... Part 1 was pretty good. You still get some of those slow parts that you usually get from Bella and Edward. The same typical bullshit.
Yeah.
Her biting her lip and feeling uncomfortable and Jacob wanting... to be with her, and then so it's after 4 movies you get kind of tired of the same old shit,
right?
So in Breaking Dawn Part 2 you finally get that, Bella's a vampire, Jacob's finally moved on from her, and you get more conflict. It takes itself less seriously. It pokes fun at itself. There's a lot of jokes, there's a lot of action, there's a lot of emotional stuff. So yeah, it's a pretty well-rounded movie, I gotta say. Even if you're not into Twilight, I gotta say that out of all of them, it was the most funny, the most emotional, and the most action-packed one.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, that one, Eclipse, aren't my favorite. the last, and then they
click. Mine just, like, goes backwards from Breaking Down Part 2 all the way down. Those are my favorite.
So, yeah, so that's it for today. Hopefully we've entertained you, bored you, or just confused the living shit out of you. We are new to podcasting, so we're still getting kind of used to this. Sometimes we're able to do it together. Sometimes it's just me and Sherry. Sometimes it'll just be me. So, and the subject matter will be anything and everything in the digital film world. So,
right.
This is IKP Films or Impulse Kitty Productions, whatever the fuck you want to call us. We're still debating on both names.
Yeah.
But for now, it is Impulse Kitty Productions Digital Film Podcast. I'm Ruben.
I'm Sherry.
I'm Faye.
I'm Jesse.
Later, gator, poop, pee-pee.
Spider.
What was that?
All right. Take it easy, guys. See you next time.
See ya. Bye.